This is chapter 3. Let's look at verses 1 through to our stop. Genesis chapter 3. Amen?
Amen.
Interesting what God has put on my heart to talk about in the next maybe several months. I'm just going to take my time and preach on a subject that I have never preached on before. Amen. See if I'll let you see if you can pick it up as I read the scripture. See if you can pick up where I'm going in the next couple months. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, Genesis chapter 3, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked.
Yes.
And I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Has thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?
Yes, yes.
And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me, gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat.
Yes, yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Feel like I already preached 3 minutes. 3 minutes to read that. Father God, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the power of God. Thank you for the scriptures that are able to open our eyes and give us discernment and wisdom that we need if we're going to live in this fallen world. Father God, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Interesting story. And I want to talk about the devil. My mic went out. See, the devil, as soon as I said I want to talk about the devil, my mic went out. Amen. Amen. I'm going to talk loud till Jeremy fixed the mic. But God talks about the devil. How many know God, the word of God mentions Satan, Lucifer, and the devil 156 times. Satan, the devil, and Lucifer is mentioned in the word of God. How many have ever heard preachers just preach a whole series on the devil? Y'all remember that back in the day when we was coming up, it was popular. What was his name?
Wilson.
It wasn't Wilson. Yeah, Wilson. He said, the devil made me do it. Maybe I'll just find this. You go online, it'll be the devil made me do a series. But in the Old Testament, the devil is mentioned 4 times. And in the New Testament, he's mentioned by the name devil 102 times. In the Old Testament, Satan is mentioned 15 times. And in the New Testament, 34 times. And then in the Old Testament, Lucifer is mentioned the 1 time. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, y'all know this is one of my favorite verses. Paul says, I preach Christ and him crucified. What did Paul mean by that? He said, I preach what Christ preached. He said, I preach what Christ preached and I preach the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And within the crucifixion would be the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior. But if the Word of God speaks of Satan 150, did I say 54 or 56? 56 times, I think I need to speak to it. I believe I'm commissioned and duty bound to talk about Satan. And one of the thoughts that come to mind is, I think we as people and our children and the people of this world are ignorant to Satan's devices, ignorant to his work and how he operates. And the Word of God is clear on how he operates. The Word of God is clear on how Satan operates. Let's look at this first verse. I'm only going to look at Genesis 3 and 1. And it may stretch me. It may stretch me. But serpent in the Bible, okay, before he became Satan, was probably the most beautiful creature in the garden. Okay? A serpent didn't get ugly. It didn't get ugly until after God cursed it. Okay? Now, when the Word of God said, now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Now, the fact that the scripture said the Lord God had made, we used to hear all the time, God don't make no junk. Okay? The serpent was beautiful. The word subtle has two meanings to it. Okay? The first meaning would be it's a fragile and tender animal. It's a non-threatening. When the serpent was initially created, it wasn't an animal where you're going to be threatened by. See, if it would have been a gorilla, okay, Eve most likely would have been a little bit hesitant. See, I'm a big black man, okay? Now I thank God for Amazon. Simply, you know, you talk to my family. Yeah, I know we know you do because Amazon, the UPS truck has always come to the house. But I don't have to go to Walmart. Because one thing happens to me when I go to Walmart. Horns and car alarms go off all the time. You know why? DeVita, you know why? Because when folks see a big black man get out of their car, out of his car, at the same time they getting out of their car, they just got to check. Make sure their door been locked. And you hear the horns go beep, 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 all over the parking lot. That ain't funny, Jeremy, because it's true. Okay? But the serpent was, he was a pretty thing. Approachable. See, when you 6 foot tall and 240, and you always ain't approachable. Amen. Am I making any sense? Uh-huh. You can be intimidating. Yes. Folks say, like, I don't know if I want to mess with him. I don't even know. I'll be at the gym, and I'm a nice guy. I'm at the gym working out. Really, no, and nobody talk to me, and I'll be on the machine. I'll be 4 machines away from the machine, and they'll come over. You using this? I'm like, man, I'm over here. And then the little white guys that come up, are you using this, sir? Like, so I'm just trying to make it real. Amen. The serpent was a subtle, gentle, approachable. Okay? That's one meaning of the word. What's the other meaning of the word? Slick. Conniving, okay? Cunning, We've been over this, you know. Here's one we used to say back in the day. Snake in the grass. You know what we used to say about somebody who was a snake in the grass?
Watch him.
Snakes in the grass. Okay. Sometimes I hear people say, you need to cut your grass. Okay. We think of a traitor. Here's the definition that comes out of the Hebrew Bible. It says he's a cheat, a liar. Here's a word, a schemer. You ever talk to somebody? Certain people call, you know, they have something. They ain't calling you to say how you doing, but when they say how you doing, you know what's coming next. What do you want?
All right.
Okay. You need me to babysit. And they work their hand, but they always connive. Anybody like being around the kind of people? Okay, your boss come in and tell you, you know what, we really appreciate you at this company. You know what's coming next. Okay, you know, I need you to do something that nobody else want to do. This cunning. Politicians are like that. Most of your politicians ain't gonna do nothing what they say they gonna do. But they politicians. Okay? Some people call politicians slicksters. But here's this serpent. And the word of God said he was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. Now, let me paint a picture for you. Now, use your minds on this. Who was the last person to come into the garden? Think about it. Who was the last person? Who was the last person or thing that God created to go into the garden? Come on now. Eve. All the animals had been created already. All the animals was running around the garden, and all of a sudden, here come a newbie. I'm making sense. Huh? Okay. Now, one of the things we do working in the prisons. Now, the inmates are already there, right? You got veteran staff there, been there for years. What's the last thing you want to do if you hire a new person at a prison? New person, brand new. What's the last thing you want to do? Put him on the front line, leave him by himself. Why? Because all of us are able to be tempted. You sit here and listen, let a man or a woman take heed of himself. If you think you exempt from being tempted. Okay? God created all the animals. Why did he create Eve? Because he said Adam didn't have what? The helpmate. So he created Eve. Well, all the animals are already running around. And now here's a serpent along with Eve. What's my point? Okay. Her covering wasn't with her. That's part of my notes. Where was Adam at? What was God? Adam had a job. What was his job? Taking care of the garden. Okay, so now we have Eve, and watch the serpent. Watch the serpent. And he said unto the woman, that's key. He said unto the woman, okay? Not unto both of them. He said unto the woman, yea, have God said, what's he doing? I see it all the time. I see it all the time when I have new staff working in the prison, and the inmates gonna test them, especially them females, and them brothers gonna find out if she will even engage me, okay? And there's all kind of no-nos we tell the women when you're dealing with inmates. Don't tell them where you live. Don't tell them what you like. Don't tell them. Really, don't even tell them your name. You're on a last name basis. Okay? My name is Officer Johnson. Okay? Okay, I mean, you know, and what he's doing is prodding. He's trying to find out if how far he can go. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, have God said?" What's he doing? Questioning her faithfulness to God. Okay, he's setting her up. Okay. Grooming her. That's what the inmates call when they get a female staff. We try to groom them. Tell them nice stuff. How you doing today? Miss you. You know, miss you yesterday. Thinking about you. They say that stuff. Guess what? If you're a woman that needs some attention, okay? If you needy, you come in there and say a man ain't asked you for your phone number in months, and you walk up in there and them brothers telling you so beautiful, hair looking a mess, you know you look a mess, and them guys still telling you beautiful today. Can I do anything for you? You need me to do anything for you? And you drop something, they're gonna pick it up in a hot minute, you know, and then they do that every day. This is what Satan's doing here, working this woman over. And he said, "Has God said?" What? What are some of the names of Satan? What comes to your mind? What's some of the names of certain Satan? What's the number one name?
Deceiver.
Okay? And he's working Eve. And he's not gonna stop. Why do I say this? Without young people. Satan's gonna work you. Satan working our young people. And he said, I heard, I had a conversation, big conversation about, you know, drinking. Okay? And people light it up. Yeah, God, Jesus turned water into wine. Let me say this. Jesus didn't turn water into Jack Daniels. Okay. Now, and I say to me, because people say the same thing. Well, you know, had God said? And I work with mothers with drunk drivers. Anybody ever work with mothers against drunk drivers? Anybody ever talk to someone who's been a victim of an alcohol-related death? Okay. That's some serious stuff. People say, well, you know, ain't nothing wrong with smoking weed. God made weed. You know, incarcerated, that's a big number, ain't it? Were under the influence of alcohol or drugs when they committed their crime. I don't like to put God's name on that. My neighbor had a party last night. I don't know. And all they do is drink. They just had a party last night. I come home from work, and then cars everywhere. And I woke up this morning, cars everywhere. Because you know what? They got so intoxicated. Then, you know, I mean, they stayed with smart. They didn't even go home. Unless they all call Ubers and Lyfts. Because all their cars were still in the same spot this morning. And the servant said, well, you know what? Drink your wine, drink your booze, smoke your dope. Listen. Satan, here's one of his names. Accuser of the brethren.
Amen.
Okay? And that goes to heaven with you. You know why? Because Satan's going to be charging you when you stand before God. He's going to accuse you before God. Listen, there's no way this man could be a man of God or a woman of God. What she did for me. She worked for me her whole life. Satan's going to stand there and do everything he can to try to convince God that you belong to him. He's going to be your attorney. When God tried to bail you out, he's going to say, listen, this person did everything I asked him to do.
Amen.
Let me give you a couple of verses. There's so many verses about Satan. I'm not going to be able to cover all 154 of them, but I'm going to cover a couple of them. Another name for certain, Satan, he was called the dragon. How about that? He's called a dragon. In Revelations 12 and 9, watch this now. Watch this now. Because he's all about the sea. Now, nobody want to talk to him. Nobody want to talk about it. Nobody wanna, I heard a preacher tell me years ago, you don't want to talk about Satan while you're in church. It's church where you lift up God's name. Well, God talked about him. In Revelations 12, 9, watch this verse. And I'm going to be real slow today, and I'm not going to cover a lot of verse, but I just want to really be deliberate and get some understanding here. And maybe somebody need to hear this. He said, and the great dragon was cast out. The Bible calls him a great dragon. God's word calls him a great dragon. What does he call him, a great dragon? Okay? Think about that. He turned him to the great dragon here, okay? Why? Because of his poisonousness, his evil, everything about him, his cruelty and his desire to destroy men. Why? Why would Satan want to destroy men and women? Somebody say, because we were made in the image of God. Satan hates God. We are God's creation. And a minute, and really, when we get saved, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we was talking about this morning, the Galatian church, when they received Jesus, they were persecuted to the ends of the world for their relationship with Jesus. But watch this verse. He said, and the great dragon was cast out. Watch this now. That old serpent. He's talking about that same one that was deceiving Eve in the garden. That's what he means when he said that old serpent. He hasn't changed his game. Okay? And we talk about God saying yesterday, today, and forevermore. Guess what? Applies to Satan too. We can say Satan, same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He's not changed his game. That old serpent, watch this now, called the devil and Satan. Watch what he did. Watch what he's doing. He did it then. He's still doing it today. He still works today. Which deceiveth the whole world. Deceiveth the whole world. Think about that, Eli. Now, you know, when I word the word world come up, I honestly I just go right to John 3:16. Because if God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, what is Satan going to do to the world? When he said he deceived the whole world, what's his greatest deception? What's his greatest deception? What's his number one goal? And it's working. To get the whole world to believe that Jesus Christ cannot save, is not the Son of God, is not God's only begotten Son. That's his job. And is it working? Absolutely. We live in a world now where you can't even say Jesus. Amen. Listen, let a politician running for office, let one of these councilmen running for office in Youngstown say, I love Jesus. You can't even mention Jesus. Which deceiveth the whole world. Watch this now. And he was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. Now somebody, what's he doing on the earth? That's a good question. What's he doing on the earth? Somebody say, what's he doing on the earth? He's a restless soul. He's a restless soul. And I look at CJ. CJ, busy, busy. Okay? And I was the same way. All of us as kids, we were busy. Church wasn't always fun.
Amen.
Okay? But Satan, watch what Peter says about him. Peter says something profound about him. We need to really, really pay attention to. And I think when he starts it off, 1 Peter 5:8, Peter's talking about Satan. And remember, Peter was a pastor at this time. He was preaching to the people, and the people of God, and they were going through a great suffering under Nero. And Nero wanted to wipe out all the Christians, and Nero would have been a tool of Satan. He'd have been a tool of Satan. And at that time, they was taking Christians, and they were putting them in the arenas and setting lions out against them. And, I mean, they was using them for candle. They was skinning them. I mean, this church today don't have a clue. Persecution of the old church. Peter, writing in 1 Peter 5:8, he says, be sober. Okay? Be sober. What's that word mean? Come to mind. It really, first thing come to mind, I'll tell somebody be sober. They be, oh, no, I shouldn't drink. Okay? That's the best part of it. You could probably say abstain from anything that's going to make you not be able to focus. Okay? I mean, know when an alcoholic's drinking and green looks like red and red looks like green. Now I'm on the road and I'm watching them. They put their fingers out and you see? What can't you do when you ain't sober? It's hard to be discerning. Okay? It's hard to be discriminating. It's hard to focus on anything. Peter's saying be sober, but really he means be discreet and watchful. Pay attention. Okay? We live in a world today where I talk to people, then nobody's paying attention. We getting in mess. We coming up in the church and still getting all kind of mess. Doing all kind of crazy stuff. Some of the stuff I see people doing is just crazy. And again, I talk to people all the time doing life sentences. And I'm like, what was you thinking about when you did that? And you know, the common answer, man, I have no clue. I don't know what I was thinking about when I did that. We had a school teacher. Just y'all read the newspaper. Yeah, right. I mean, this is terrifying. Because what do they tell school teachers? There's no age of consent as a school teacher. You cannot get into a relationship with a student. That's school teacher 101. That's school teacher 101. That's the first thing they teach you. Don't mess with the kids. Okay? And well, it don't matter. She was 18. It don't matter. She liked me. It don't matter. You wrong, and you're gonna go to jail. Okay? And what makes him think you above the law? Well, I can mess with this girl. And then they suspend him, and guess what? Who's sitting there rubbing his hand? Got one, Satan. And you know what this man told his family he was gonna do? I'll kill myself. I mean, he told his family he left the house, I'm gonna kill myself. You think Satan would say, well, don't do that. Now, you made a mistake. You know, okay, you do your time. We get you a good attorney, and we'll see what we can do, the best we can do. Okay, because you knew the rules. You made them. No. Satan said, kill yourself. Why? Because I know John 10:10 said Satan comes to do what? Kill, steal, and destroy. So Satan's going to tell him, hey, you know what? Your career is over. You'll never be a teacher again. Yeah. You've been publicly embarrassed. Yeah. Your mom will kill yourself and go to hell with me. Y'all hear me say it all the time. I've said it so much over the years. Sin will always win. Y'all ought to know it by heart. It will always take you farther than you plan on going, keep you there longer than you plan on staying. It costs you more than you plan on spending. Three things I learned is people say, well, you don't need to go to school. You don't need to learn nothing. You don't need to go to college. You don't need to go to cemetery. Listen, I go to cemetery. Cemetery taught me three things right off the first class I took. Don't touch the money. Don't touch the women. Don't touch the booze.
All right. Amen.
I mean, that was the first thing. Listen, listen, don't touch the money, don't touch the women, and don't touch the booze. They're the big three for the preachers. Keep it simple. You know, keep it simple. Peter says, be sober. Christian woman, Christian man. Okay? Be vigilant, excuse me. Okay? Keep awake. How many here set the alarm on their house when they left home? Okay? He set the alarm. I know Cindy did. Set the alarm. She'd turn around and go all the way back. I forgot to set the alarm. Because she's vigilant. Keep awake. Pay attention. Be watchful.
Yes, yes.
Be watchful. And then he said, because or why? Somebody would say, why does it take all that? Why I got to be sober? Why I got to be vigilant? Why, Peter? Why, Peter? Why are you telling us this? Because. That word stands on its own. He said, because. That's right. See, we don't like that word because. You know, kids be acting up. And somebody, listen, just do what I say. Why? Because I said so. Because, here's why. Be sober, pay attention, stay alert, stay away from the booze, be discreet and watchful, pay attention, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, another name for the devil, your adversary, what's an adversary? An enemy, somebody out to get you.
Amen.
Somebody that wants you. Somebody wants you to fall, and somebody wants you to struggle. And how many of us in here raised both hands and said there was times where we weren't sober and we weren't vigilant, and then the adversary did put some work in on us.
Amen.
Okay? We're not born sober, and we're not born vigilant. He said, because your adversary, the devil. Okay? I always tell the story when my brother-in-law football team down in Columbus made the playoffs for the first time in history. He was an offensive coach, and he said, come down and come in. Before our kids go out, I want you to come and pray for us. And I wasn't sober, and I wasn't vigilant. And I said, I'm on my way, man. I went down to Columbus. Me and my brother went down to Columbus. Got in the locker room. All devils, devils everywhere, because the name of the team was the Mary Franklin Red Devils. I say, boys, God, you either got a sense of humor and Satan is a liar. Now you got me down here praying for the Red Devils. I love that story. And I'm sitting here like, I'm sitting here the whole time, man. You know, I'm thinking, because I'm early, I'm like, well, how am I going to pull this off? I want the devils to win. I prayed for them, but I never mentioned devils. And they lost 48-0 or something. And the cheerleader's like, go, devils, go. I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, what have I gotten into? Go, devils, go. Go, devils, go. Give me a D. D. Give me an E. E. Give me a V. And I'm like, devils. I'm just like, the devils. Listen, be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. Let me tell you something. Cindy's down the hallway. Did she got that baby? Let me tell you something. I've been around a lot of babies. That's the noisiest, loudest baby I've ever been around in my life. Okay? Now, you guys, she got a great set of lungs, that's all. But why does a baby cry? What's the number one reason? Family, what is it called? Whatever, Family Feud. What's the number one reason a baby cry? Hungry. Hungry. The number one reason a baby cries and hungry, and that baby starts screaming, Cindy, run to the refrigerator. Now, the reason I say that, because Peter said, be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. Uh-huh. Why does a lion roar? He ready to eat. The roar of a lion, it will petrify the victim just long enough for that lion to get the advantage. The roar, that stir of shudders, and that's all that lion needs, is that one step. And the roar is because he's full of violence, and he's got an insatiable appetite, and he's trying to fill it. Peter is being graphic with this. He says, here's why you need to be sober. Here's why you need to be vigilant. Because your adversary, the one who wants to destroy you, is like a roaring lion. He could have said just a lion. Okay? He says it's a roaring lion that walketh about. I mean, we know Satan can't be everywhere at all times like God, but he is constantly on the move, constantly looking for somebody or someone to do what? To eat, to devour. Okay? And he showed up in Job chapter 1. He showed up when the sons of God showed up. Satan showed up too. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan said, yeah, I've considered him. But you got what? Got a hedge of protection around him. That hedge of protection that was around Job was the fact that Job was sober and vigilant. He understood that he needed that hedge. See, we walk around, we don't have no hedge around us. We don't have no cover. We don't have no hedge around us because we think we can do it on our own. He's an enemy. He's an adversary. And Esther, the book of Esther, and Esther was under attack, and the people of God, the Jewish people, were under attack. And Haman was wanting to destroy them all. He wanted to destroy them all. But Esther found favor with God. And King Ahasuerus allowed Esther into the room to talk to him. All she needed was the one door to open. And she pled her case in Esther chapter 7. Look what he says here. And they asked her, what's going on, Esther? What's your problem? You look concerned. You look like you've got something going on. We all look like that, too. We all look like a bunch of Esthers in here. We run around here happy as a lark. In our country and our family and our loved ones dying and going to hell. We just happy as a lark. People come out. They come out to the prison. And this happened this week. And some of the visitors come out and say, you look troubled. You know, and you know, they love me and they understand me. They understand me. I say, what do you mean I look trouble? I work at a prison. I'm a prison chaplain. Okay, see they come from the happy church. And they walk in here and we just had an officer get hurt, knocked out. I mean, he was knocked out cold and blood was coming out of his eyes and ears and stuff, and then they ask me, well, you look troubled. You know, don't you think the man of God ought to look troubled? See, we look like superstars, and you know, we look like we doing well. The preacher's doing well because there's no adversity. No, there's no trials and tribulations. See, nobody would hire Paul today. Tabernacle don't have no pastor. All these churches don't have no pastors. If Apostle Paul came and applied for the pastor's job, they wouldn't get it. He wouldn't get it. He wouldn't get it. You look troubled. You know, we don't want to hear all that doctrine and Bible teaching and stuff, man. Can you sing? Paul said, well, I sang once and I was in jail, and you know, that's the only time I really do any singing. How many churches you know would hire Paul for their pastor? Look trouble, man. All tattered, and, you know. I wrote the Bible. You know, we're looking for something else. Uh-huh. you know. Here's Esther. Verse 6. What's this now? The king has asked Esther, who's trying to wipe your people out? Who's trying to destroy you? Watch what she calls Haman. And Esther said, Esther 7 and 6, the adversary and the enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. Haman worked for the king. Well, you know what kind of boldness it took Esther to go in there and say that about the king's right-hand man? Can I give you another verse? Did I get enough out of that first Peter? No, I didn't. Let me give you this verse, Peter, one time. I'll pull another something else out of it. He said, be sober, be vigilant, blind, because your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion walking about. Watch this last part. He's walking about, but he's always vigilant. Satan is always vigilant. Satan is always sober. Satan is always seeking whom he may devour. And we look around and we see a lot of empty seats. Some folks ain't here because Satan has and it ain't just here. How does Satan devour? Somebody, wait a minute. Wait, how does Satan devour? Well, it ain't always him just biting your head off. Uh-huh. He can devour you with the cares and the concerns and just too much to do. Busy. Y'all know I call it busy, the acronym busy. Some folks says too busy for church.
Yes.
Okay? Some folks out there celebrating Cinco, whatever it's called. Okay? Don't want no Mexicans over here. But the church folks got all filled with Mexican restaurants. See, I just don't understand. And, I can't get to church because I'm celebrating the Mexican Christmas. Church folks. Church folks celebrate St. Patty's Day. Baptist folks. See, Satan ain't caring about this stuff. See, busy, the acronym busy, being under Satan's yoke. Say, the last place Satan wants you on a Sunday morning is in Sunday school and in church.
Amen.
Okay? And if he can devour your desire for the things of God, for the preciousness of his word, and for serving him, he don't care if you live to be 99. Long as you die and go to hell with him, he don't care how long you live. Okay? Long as you don't live for God. That he's going to do everything he can do to stop you from serving God. That's how he devour you. He's like, all right, he got my leg. Oh, listen. He got your heart. He got your soul. He got your spirit. Okay? You walking around here just celebrating everything. An adversary. A challenger. You know what a challenger do? Think about it. I can read these sports analogies. But listen. You got rivalry games. What's the biggest one? Ohio State, Michigan. Yeah, Ohio State, Michigan. Army, Navy game. Guess what they do every year? It don't matter. They play each other every year. Guess what they do every year? They study tapes and film. And they know all your tendencies. And you line up a certain way, they know all your tendencies. They know everything you might do. And in this formation, you might do this. And if it's third and two, you might do this. They learn and study you. That's what an adversary does. And Satan is studying us.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Satan know everything you like and dislike. He know how to hurt you. He know how to make you happy. He know what your favorite food is. He know what you don't like. He know what gets under your skin because he studies us.
Amen.
And this is why God is saying, listen, if your adversary is sober and vigilant, shouldn't you be?
Amen.
Shouldn't you be? Well, we just walk around with blinders on.
Yes, yes.
Under the control of the world. Watch this last, this, maybe this last verse, Ephesians 2. Paul's still writing. Paul and Peter wrote that, and here's Paul writing Ephesians. One of the great verses in the Bible. I might have to even, let me turn to it. Ephesians chapter 2. This may be my last verse for sure, because it's communion. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. We studied this so many times, but it's still worth repeating. Peter writing to born again believers in Ephesus. And he says this, and he says, and you have he quickened. Born again folks. Born again folks have been quickened, okay? Made alive. Made alive. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Okay? Now he's got another name for Satan. Here's the name for Satan. The prince of the power of the air. Okay? Now, and back in those days, they didn't have satellites all over. Okay? So when you walk right around, you see AT&T, all these satellites, and they got satellites all up in the skies, everywhere. And them satellites are sending all kinds of signals. You're running GPSs, you're running droids, and all kinds of stuff are running in front of satellites. You don't see the beams. You don't see the beams, do you? But you know they're out there. Okay? So Paul is way above, way before his time. You know what I'm saying? The Bible's old. The Bible's old for old folks. No, this is brand new. Okay? It's brand new. People say, that was old. That was back in the day. You know, I mean, that's still today. We just call it some different stuff. But you got Fox up there, CNN. How do you think you got it on your phone? You set this up for the last days when we're going to be able to see everything. We're going to be able to see them two die. How do you think we're going to do it? We're going to see it right on our phones. Oh, my God, what's happening over there? Okay? Bible says in the last days there'll be an increasing of knowledge. Some of y'all laugh when y'all see one of the old folks with a flip phone. I seen a lady had a flip phone. I'm like, oh, it might have been Matthew. You got a flip phone, don't you? Okay. Yeah, Big Dave. Oh yeah, flip phone. I'm looking at him like, man, you know there's an increase in them times. You know, we in the last days, you're supposed to have a new phone. The world getting ready to end and you got a flip phone. You ain't gonna be able to see everything that's happening. Listen. Here's Paul writing to the Ephesians. That's what you, Matthew. You better get your phone so you know what's happening. The rapture be the king. You got your flip phone. Don't know it. Listen. Matthew said, I ain't going to be here when the rapture comes. You worried about you. Wherein in time past, Paul writing to these believers, and he said, this is who you were. This is what happened. This is what you were delivered from. He said, wherein time past, ye walked according to the course of this world. What's the course of this world? Sin. Eat, drink, and be merry. Uh-huh. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. That's the sins of the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. We do whatever we want to do. We don't have no spiritual authority. No Bible telling me I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't fornicate. I shouldn't adulterate. I shouldn't whatever. I'm doing whatever I want to do. Okay? That's what they meant when they said, it's your thing. Do what you want to do. Preacher can't tell you who to sock it to. That's really what they meant to sing. Oh, y'all hear me. And we just kept on dancing.
Uh-huh. Amen.
As soon as that song came on, we said, it's your thing. Do what you want to do. I can't tell you who to sock it to. See? Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. That walk means that's your conversation. That's your lifestyle. You did whatever you wanted to do. You did whatever the world told you to do. The world said we wearing bell bottoms. We wear bell bottoms. If the world said we wearing platform shoes with goldfish in the heels, we wearing them. If the world said we wearing mini skirts and Daisy Dukes, we was doing it. We did what the world said. Okay, the world said, hey, we all hanging out over here. We hanging out with the world. We did what the world. We walked according to the course of the world. According to the course of the world now, so everybody needs to be getting high. Everybody needs to be smoking dope. Everybody needs to be drinking. On them cell phones, you know, everybody on them cell phones. God, that's what the world's saying to do. And that's what we did before we got saved. And some of us still struggle with some of them things. Okay? Where in the time past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air. How many know 1990? Remember 1999? Prince wrote 1999? Okay? You know, he changed the name. Nobody called himself Prince. Because that word Prince means ruler of the airways. Prince wanted to be the ruler of the airways. Now, next, when you get home, you take 1999 and flip it. And it means 666. And he made the last nine with an arrow on it pointing down. He represented the devil. And if you study Prince's music, and we all, Little Red Corvette, Purple Rain. You know, we walk according to the Prince of the powers of the air, because I know them songs, and I wasn't saved, and I had some Prince stuff. Oh, yeah, come on, y'all so sanctified up in here. Y'all, they forgot about Prince. Y'all see what I'm going with this. Okay? That word prince means first rank and chief. It means a ruler. And that word power, the prince of the power of the air. That word power is another legal word. Authority. He had jurisdiction. This prince that we serve, not the prince, not the purple prince, this devil prince, he is the ruler and the authority of the air. Of the air. That air means the spiritual world. Air is another word for spirit. The spiritual world. Okay? Watch it now that you know that. Watch how it all puts together now. When in time past you walk according to the course of this world. Okay? And the course, you know what I'm saying? Let me see. The course of this world is heading where? Somebody. The course of this world is heading to hell. Yes, yes. The course of this world ain't going up. Okay? The course of this world is going down. And so when we put this together, say, where in time past ye walked to the course of this world. Remember the three Hebrew boys? See the three Hebrew boys. Listen. They weren't walking to the course of this world. When they said, listen, when you hear 50 Cent, and when you hear Lil Wayne, and you hear Tupac, and you hear Nipsey Hussle, and when you hear it, I want everybody to bow down and dance to it. And that turned it on. Guess who was still standing? Them three Hebrew boys, they were standing. And we ain't dancing to that. Amen. We're not dancing to that. We're not bowing down to that. Then they called them in front of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar tried to be nice to them. The first time, I said, listen, youngsters. I know y'all want to hold on to y'all Christianity and y'all faith and all that. But don't embarrass me, because I'm going to have to throw you in this furnace. This is not version. And you know what them Hebrew boys said? In the face of death. Okay, what you say, King? We not dancing. Just turned up the fire. Turn it up. Because we'd rather get in that fire than dance with the devil. Boy, we need some Christians like that. Why don't we have some Christians like that? See, we ain't getting persecution. Go, listen, soon as the authorities say, you're going to dance, we dance. We so cowardly and timid. But listen, the Hebrew boys said, turn it up. We ain't dancing, okay? And if our God save us, he save. If he don't, what we got to lose?
Amen.
Gonna go to heaven with him. I'm all over the place. Stay with me. Where in the time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit. Power of the air, the spirit. That's the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now you stay with me with this, because see, the Bible says that the spirit that now worketh. What's wrong with our kids? What's wrong with our kids? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. What tells a child to tattoo his face all up? Seriously. Spirit of the world, so that's cool. Tat it all up. Just covered up with tattoos. Word of God said we ought not tattoo ourselves.
Amen.
The man ought not cut himself and put images on his body. That's just the word of God. Hey, oh, Pastor, that's old. I'm going to tell you something. Satan telling you to do that.
Amen.
Okay? I got one tattoo. I wish I could cut it off. I don't even show it. Try not to. Do my best not to show it. When did I get it? Satan put it on me when I was unsaved. I was walking according to the course of the world. Of course, I was like, get some tats.
Uh-huh.
Glad I got saved after one. I'd have been covered. Because I go hard. If I'm serving the devil, I'm going to serve him hard. I don't like doing stuff halfway. See, we got too many folks halfway. If I'm serving God, I'm going to serve him with everything I got.
Amen.
Okay? And I served Satan, I served him good. He was my boss. Listen, folks. What's wrong with our kids? Let me give you this word, disobedient. They are the children of disobedience. You ever looked at that word, Dick and Jeremy? The children of disobedience. What's that word mean? Think about what that word mean. The word disobedient, when you define the word disobedient, it really means unbelief. That's the core of the word disobedient. So it's not that they just being bad. They don't believe. They sure don't. They don't believe. So when the word of God says they're children of disobedience, he being nice. He just saying you got some kids that don't believe God. They don't believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. They don't believe nothing in the Bible. They disobedient, but they really are unbelievers.
Uh-huh.
And the word of God says the things of God are foolishness to a natural world, to a natural man.
Amen.
Listen. We're going to keep going with this series. It's just so interesting to me in light of what's going on in this world. I'm going to stop right there. But listen, you think about it. You think about your faith. And you think about what the Word of God says. He says a narrow road that leads to heaven. And few be that find it. And that word being, there's a seeking involved in it. Okay? And you got to get after it. And it's going to be a struggle to seek something that's not always easy. Okay? Precious Lord, we just thank you this morning. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the power of God. Thank you for the people of God. Thank you for the word of God. Father God, we need to be more obedient. We need to be sober. We need to be vigilant. We need to understand that our adversary is sober and vigilant. What team, what army goes into battle unprepared? We are in a warfare.
Amen.
We are in a battle. And our enemy is studying us, knows our every move. We need to learn about him.
Yeah.
Father, thank you for